Well, I'm going to take a little different tack this morning, and I had another message all prepared, but I just feel impressed to go back to Isaiah 46, and I don't know exactly what the Lord wants to do with this passage, or how long we'll be here in it. I mean, we may read it and be done in 5 minutes. We may be here for another hour. I don't know, but we'll take the message that I've prepared and lay it aside and put it in the drawer of unpreached messages. Did you know I have a drawer like that? You'd think a guy had a drawer of unpreached messages would go through the drawer once in a while and see if any of them have life again. But Isaiah 46. This passage just speaks to me. It's an exhortation. It's a declaration. When I read it myself, it exalts me. It's a portion of a passage. Shortly after I was saved, I don't know if I had been filled with the Holy Ghost yet, but I had gone up to somewhere around Gainesville, Georgia, on a sales call, and I was early, and I pulled over on the side of an area there under some shade trees, and I had my Bible with me. And I pulled it, I just started reading, and it was in, you know, those days, I would rather read the Word than eat. You know how that is in those, you know, when you're so hungry. And he led me to this portion of Scripture, starting in 45 and going over through 47. But particularly this passage, and I had my old Revised Standard Version Bible, and I remember marking all of these places with a red pencil. Every place where he declared himself. I'm the Lord. There's nobody like me. I'm the Lord. There's none else. I am the Lord God. There's nobody else like me. As I was sitting there in my automobile reading this passage, it just was so alive for me. And I don't know specifically what he was doing at that moment, but it was an important enough time for me to remember it 25 years later. So we'll just read a portion of it. Verse 3, Isaiah 46 and verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob. This is a word from the Lord to his people. And all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. What does that remind you of? If this were spoken to you personally, not to Old Testament Israel, but to you personally. Does that remind you of birth? Does it remind you of being born again? That's what strikes me here when I read this. Which are born by me from the belly. I bore you out of my belly. I carried you in my womb, and I birthed you, spiritually, albeit. But the imagery here is it couldn't be clearer. And then verse 4 just struck me this week when I was reading it, particularly. And even to your old age, I am He. You're never going to outgrow me. I am going to be the one who will carry you and bear you even through your old age. Even to hoar hairs. Now the word hoar, H-O-A-R, hoar, means graying. So even to your gray hairs will I carry you. Now, I don't know about you, but I like that. I like the idea that not only will he birth me as his baby, but he will carry me all the way to the end of my days. I have made you, and I will bear you, even I will carry you, and I will deliver you. Let's think about that. I made you. I bore you. I birthed you. Now I'm going to carry you, and I'll deliver you out of whatever circumstance you may find yourself in. To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? Who do you know? What do you know that you would compare me to? They, verse 6, the unbeliever, they lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance, and then they hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. And they fall down, yea, they worship. They take a bag of money into the goldsmith place, he melts it down, he makes them a god, they fall down and worship it. He said, how stupid. Then verse 7, they bear him on the shoulder. Instead of the god carrying them, they carry the god. Whoo, whoo, they carry him and set him in his place because he can't move. And he standeth from his place, he shall not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. Here we go again. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, pardon me, and I will do all my pleasure. I will do whatever I want to do. Verse 11, calling a ravenous bird from the east, if I want to just call a bird in, I do that. I can call a man that executeth my counsel from a far country. If I want to call somebody to come and do my work, wherever I want it done, I just call and he comes. Because I'm God. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Listen to the absence of equivocation in these words. There's absolutely no shilly-shallying about his declarations here. He knows who he is. He knows what he can do. He knows what his promises are, and he knows what his ability is. Seems to me that his children ought to be chips off the old block. That we ought to know who we are. We ought to know what we can do because of who he is. Hearken unto me, verse 12, ye stout-hearted, you stubborn ones that are far from righteousness, I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. He refers here to the fact that those that are not part of his body, his family, are far from righteousness, and he infers that our own righteousness is of no value, that he said, I will bring my righteousness. Over and over again in Isaiah, he talks about his own righteousness. And we know from 2 Corinthians that God made Jesus to be sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God. It is his righteousness that is imputed to us, and that's why we are called saints. I believe this is what he's referring to here. My salvation will not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory, for my people who are my glory. I don't have anything else to say about that passage. All I know is that we were to share it this morning, and we did. Does it stir anybody? It's just a declaration of who God is. Oh Lord my God, when I consider all the worlds thy hands have made,
I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce could take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Great.